Our scripture today comes from Galatians chapter 3, and we're just going to be at the end. It's going to be verse 26 through 29, so a short one today. This is a letter of Paul. He's writing to the church in Galatia, and this is going to be a letter that is challenging some things that are happening in the life of the community. But before we get to that, what I want you to recognize is that this section is a definitive statement kind of in this discourse that he's having, that this is kind of one of those stopping points along the argument that just kind of names what it is. So there's been a buildup to this, and there's going to be a takeaway from this as he continues on in the letter. But this is kind of one of those moments in the letter where, like, this is the point, one point, right, along the argument. And so that's where we're at. Hear the word of God. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. This is the word of God for the people of God. And together we say, thanks be to God. I was thinking about, in preparation for this week, how language can be so impactful, not on just how we see the world, right? But also what we communicate, really. Like, language is about trying to communicate experiences, to communicate feelings, to communicate thought, right? It's trying to take what's in here and give it to someone else that they may understand, right? And language, it's kind of crazy when you think about it. But I was kind of thinking about it and how much just one word in a sentence can completely change the meaning, right? You just change one word and it completely changes the meaning. Take this sentence, for example. You're one of us. Feels good, right? Someone came up to me, you're like, you're one of us. And you're like, that's a belonging. That's a belonging, right? You're one of us. You're one of us. But what if someone came up to you and said, you're one of them? Uh-oh. Probably going to have a fight on our hands, aren't we? One word can take a sentence that communicates the fullness of saying, you belong, you are one of us. One word, and it accomplishes the complete opposite. It completely separates two people from one another. Us and them. Us and them. Now you may be sitting there saying, I don't do that, right? I would never go up to someone and say, you're one of them. Maybe. Maybe not as dramatically as that, but how often do we just write off somebody, right? Because of the context that we're meeting them, right? How much do we maybe dismiss something that's happening in the world because it's coming from a group that's different? It's just one of those influencers, right? That's theming. You're theming there, right? That is not a you. That's not a us. That's a them, right? How often do we create places of security, of belonging, of understanding that is foundationally built on there being a them? You're one of them. Why do we hear in the news sometimes where people, they want to come become a part of a club or a fraternity or something like that, and they go through this whole hazing process? Why would anyone go through that? Well, it's a loyalty test. If you can prove to us you do these things, the loyalty test, you can become one of us. You're a them until you pass the loyalty test, right? Then we know we can trust you because you've done the things, right? And now you can be one of us. But until you prove your loyalty, you're one of them, right? Or maybe in order to protect our own security in life, when we see something tragic happening, you'll say this, I feel so bad for them. Because what you're doing is you're distancing yourself, you're distancing yourself from them, that you might feel a little safer in this world. It's so bad what's happening to them. We so often in this world create places of belonging, trust, and security built on the foundation of there having to be them. And that's what's happening in the scripture. See, Paul's kind of upset as he, and often, let's be honest, in a lot of his letters, he's upset. But he's upset because he's gone and he's done this mission and to the Gentiles, which just basically means non-Jewish cultures, right? Non-Jewish cultures. He's gone to them. He's preached the good news and they begin to follow Christ. Well, some of these other people start coming along. And they come to them and they say, no, you can't follow Jesus unless you follow the law, unless you become Jewish, right? You got to do the Jewish stuff. You got to get circumcised. You got to eat kosher. You got to do all these things, right? If you want to follow Jesus and you want to be one of us, you got to pass the test. You got to do this, right? If you want to be secure about your identity in Jesus, you want to be one of us, you want to belong, you got to do these things. And Paul is mad. Because what he says and what their argument is they're going in to a group of people that did not grow up in a Jewish culture, did not grow up in a Jewish kingdom or land. And they're saying, if you want to follow this transforming power of Jesus that you've experienced, you're not doing it until you become one of us. You have to be our culture. You have to be one who values our heritage. You have to do the things that we raise our children to do. Am I starting to hit a nerve here a little bit? How often in this world do we hear that if you really want to belong, you've got to change everything you've been given? And that's what's being said to these people. And they so want to belong that they're believing it. And Paul is mad. He's mad because the gospel is built on something completely different. If you read this passage again, it is one of the most radical, transformative, world-breaking passages that you can read. Because what does he say? There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. He's saying that following Christ is not about conforming to one cultural identity. It's not about belonging to a specific social class. And it's not even about the sex that you were born, right? It's not about any of those things. You know how radically leveling that is? He says, no. Faith in Jesus, being one in Christ, is something so much bigger than an us and them reality. What Paul is saying is, what Christ reveals to us is that it's always been and only really is just us. There is no them. He completely dismantles the whole foundation to say there really is no them. It's always just been us. That is the message of Christ. And he goes back. He says, he argues against, right? He's proudly Jewish and he loves his heritage, in fact. But he goes back, he says, Abraham, and he goes back to the core. Abraham, foundational, right? To Jewish understanding of faith. And he says, no. Abraham was always supposed to be a blessing to all nations. It's always just been us in Christ. And the beauty is it doesn't matter what context or culture you were raised in. It doesn't matter what class you belong to. It doesn't matter how much you earn, how much status you have in this world. It doesn't matter if you're a dude or a chick. Following Jesus is about seeing how God is in work and all of those things and in all different ways. That what unites us is not stale conformity, but the beautiful diversity of creation. That it's always just been us. Went to it was a clergy gathering. We just went to this weekend, and it was me and my family, and it's where different clergy from all the UMC or whatever, they come together in our district, and we get together, and we hang out, and we have little snacks, and it's fun. Well, we were walking into the gathering, and I was carrying George, who's my two-year-old. He's almost three. I'm carrying him, and he's a great spirit. He's got a great spirit to him. He's also a little troublemaker. He broke a couple things yesterday, so I'm also trying to forgive him, but we were walking in, and there was another little girl. I think she must have been two or three as well. And she was walking along, and she fell, and she hurt herself, and she began to cry. And, you know, we were I don't know, probably 30, 40 yards out. I mean, we weren't close. This wasn't, like, right next to us. And George locks into that, and she's like, oh, he was, oh, no. She got boo-boo. That's sad. Oh, no. Is she going to be okay? Right? He just doesn't know this girl, never met this girl at all. What a spirit to see that the stranger really was one of with him, that her pain was his pain. And then we go into the gathering, and there's a couple of things where nice things were said or cool things were done or whatever, and people would clap, and he didn't know what was going on, but he would go, yeah. Yeah, like he was just into it, right? Because there was joy in the room, and their joy was his joy. He was living that moment and that space and that time. There was no them. It was just us. Now, you may be saying, Ken, that's just a kid. That's idealistic. That's not realistic. There's this really funny moment that Martin Luther King told this story. He was in jail. He was in Birmingham jail. And, you know, the jailers would come by and they would tell him why segregation was a good thing and blah, blah, blah. And they're trying to justify it. And, you know, a couple days in, it's like 3 days in. And he says, you know, we started talking about our families and they started telling him what they made. And then he says to them, well, you're just as poor as we are. You should be out there marching with us. Right? You should be out there marching with us. You hear that? These are people trying to come by and tell him how he's wrong. But all he can see is that the world is us. Right? The world is us. That Christ has come to bring a new option to the table. That we can build our belonging and our security and our trust in something much bigger than there having to be a them in this world. In fact, when we encounter a theming in this world, we can meet it with the full understanding of our own worth. Whether they're putting that, if they're saying we're them, it's like you're one of them, we can still see them as us because we know our worth isn't about them calling us them. We know that the Creator always has been calling us us in Christ.
Christ brings a new option to the table. What would happen in this world if we chose it more often? Pray with me.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we're always one in you. That you are alive in every continent, country, people, soul of this world. That you have continually surrounded us with your love and your grace, always calling us to be one with you, that we might recognize our oneness with our brothers and sisters. Instill in us a boldness today to see you not just in this place, not as we just gather to be one in this room. Lord, give us a moment where we might see our oneness in the world. Be with us now as we enter into this time of worship. Transform us, show us, renew our sight. We give you this time, we give you our lives. It's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.